Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, November 4th. 9 beautiful games that we're going to talk about. Talk about the DFS slate, and we'll hopefully drop some season-long knowledge along the way as well. I am your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1, also known as the judge in the DFS realm. And today, I am joined by the wild man himself, Tyler Watts. What's up, man?
How's it going, Daniel?
It's going okay. Just to let you guys know, Tyler was sick a few days ago, and I think he transmitted it through the computer, his illness, to me, because I have not been feeling well. It hit me yesterday, man. It's just achy. And then today I've had kind of a sore throat, headache. So I think I'm starting to get a cold. I think it's just the seasonal change. But so if my voice sounds a little worse for the wear today, that's probably because of that. And the show might be a little bit shorter than usual, although probably not, because I tend to talk too much on these shows. So we're struggling, but we're still giving you the show, because the slate is just too good to pass up to talk about for Friday. So we are here. Let's start with some quick injury news, Tyler. I think the biggest news is Jeremy Lin. It was a hamstring, right, for him?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's not good news. And I think he's going to be – what's he out? A minimum of, what, 2 weeks?
They said they're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. So that could mean anywhere from 2 weeks to a month, 6 weeks, something like that, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm sure anyone does not like hearing the words hamstring. That's a – that can be a lingering injury, so you got to be super cautious with it. Plus, Brooklyn has nothing to play for anyway, so I'm sure that could be tough. That could linger, and if they're saying 2 weeks, that's the minimum he'll be out. Let's first attack season long. So if you own Jeremy Lin in season long, which I do, well, I mean, any recommendations? I mean, I guess what we're going to talk about. I mean, do we play this or try to pick up this whitehead, blackhead, yellowhead guy?
No, I'm not big on Isaiah Whitehead. I actually think they're going to give some of the minutes to Randy Foy. If Grievous Vasquez can get his ankle healthy, I think they're going to give him some minutes. So I'm not in love with any of these guys. I think that they could all end up playing like 20, 25 minutes and not really producing that much value.
Yeah, I think if Vasquez was healthy, I've seen him be when he gets big minutes, even though he's slow as a turtle. And annoying though to actually watch play basketball, he's actually puts up decent stats. So if he can get healthy, I think he'll be the biggest beneficiary at some point. But I guess that's a wait and see approach right now. But I mean, Brooklyn stinks. I mean, they were already dreadful to watch. The only reason I was watching them because of Jeremy Lin. I would play him a lot in DFS, and I own him in a lot of season long leagues. So dear God, I mean, now we're talking about 4 D leaguers with Brooke Lopez in their starting lineup. And of course, I guess we can tune in to watch the worst player in basketball, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. So that's always fun. That's the news there. You got Tony Parker. I don't even know. Tyler, you want to run down the injuries? Some of these I don't even know.
The Tony Parker's out for the Spurs back to back coming up here on Friday and Saturday. So if you have him in any of your season long leagues, or you were thinking about putting him in your DFS lineup, he's not going to be someone to play. Boris Diaw is out for the next 2 weeks. I'm looking at it right now. He has a right leg contusion, because I thought that was strange. I didn't think that would keep a person out for 2 weeks. But they're claiming he's out for 2 weeks with a bruised leg. And then you got Roy Hibbert, who's out again tomorrow. So Cody Zeller ought to get some more minutes. No word yet on when he's going to be back.
Dear God, I just got done playing Tyler Zeller. Now I got to worry about a Cody Zeller. I'm telling you, the Zellers and the Plumleys, they should join their own league. I mean, they should form their own league and, like, you know, it's just the Zellers versus the Plumleys every night. It's just, I'm so sick of all of that. That whole family, both those families, go away. Sorry.
But they're all big men, so what kind of league would this be?
I don't know. It would just be a bunch of big men running around. Yeah, it'd be a horrible – I didn't say it'd be a good league. I'm just so tired of playing. And I swear, all the Plumleys go to Duke. I don't know where the Zellers go. I know one went to North Carolina. I don't know where the other ones went. Anyway, sorry. I mean, interrupt you. My bad.
All right, no, that was it. We already mentioned Grievous Vasquez. He's last guy on the list.
All right, so So there's that. Now let's get to the good stuff, man. Let's get to the games. By the way, League Pass alert. We're taping this. It's midnight on Wednesday or Thursday night, and Golden State right now is beating OKC by 23 or something, 25 or 23 at the half. So hopefully.
Isn't that a TNT alert?
Oh, you're right. It's TNT alert. Yeah, very good call by you. So hopefully you didn't play too much of those guys in DFS on Thursday night. I mean, although Durant had 33 FanDuel points in the first half, Klay Thompson still sucks. That's a good sign. So he's still shooting. He still must be shooting like 10% from three. But it's gonna be. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see how many minutes those guys play in the second half. So anyway, let's get to the games for Friday. By far the best over/under again is the Golden State game. Golden State is at the Lakers. 226 and a half over under. Golden State's favored by 10.5 points. Even though Golden State's on a back to back, obviously there's some blow up potential here, so you got to be careful with what you want to do on this game. Still lots of juicy guys here. I mean, I'm not sure what I mean. The fact that Golden State's blowing out OKC and all the starters' minutes are probably going to be down for on Thursday, makes me more inclined to play Golden State guys on Friday. What about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I totally agree. Even though I think they're going to blow the Lakers away tomorrow, there's still going to be lots of fantasy value to be had because it's going to be a very high-scoring game, I would guess.
Yeah, and I would recommend you guys watch this game. If I don't know if you guys have been watching the Lakers, they're actually fun. They're actually a pretty fun team to watch, man. With D'Angelo and Randle and I mean, I'm not gonna say Nick Young, but D'Angelo and Randle for sure. I wish Brandon Ingram would get some more minutes, but hopefully that will come later in the year. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the one thing I'll say about DFS and season long purposes for that matter, Luke Walton. If you look at the minutes distribution for the Lakers, I mean, man. Like no one is getting big minutes. Like looking at the box scores can be somewhat painful from like a DFS perspective because like the entire roster is basically getting like between 18 and 26 minutes, and then usually like D'Angelo Russell gets like maybe 30 minutes and Randle gets like 28 minutes. So not a ton of minutes even for the starters, but still they're a fun team to watch. And then they go up and down the court. And D'Angelo Russell, his usage rate is already fantastic. I think it's close to the top 10 in the league. So that's a good sign. Other good games. Let's see. A game that there will be no defense played whatsoever. That's Phoenix at New Orleans. I think this is a low over/under. It's 212.5. I think it should be a little higher because both these teams cannot play any defense at all. So here, New Orleans is favored by 3.5. All kinds of fantasy goodness here. I mean, dear God, you could load up on this game if you want. We'll get into some of the more plays in a couple minutes, but Anthony Davis could obviously explode here on Friday night. He's going to be up against chunky Jared Dudley. Oh, God, that is so tasty. I'm going to be playing all kinds of Anthony Davis. Another really nice matchup is the Knicks at Chicago. So Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah are going back to Chicago. Both these teams play at a pretty fast pace this year. Chicago's favored by 6.5. It's a 210.5 over/under. So that's another game that I want a lot of action on. If there's a day to play stupid Derrick Rose. I mean, normally I don't play players who I think should be in jail, but maybe I'll make an exception for I shouldn't say that, right, Tyler? Is that bad to say?
You can say whatever you want, Daniel. Just as long as you
I take that
don't
back.
swear.
I don't. I well, all right, no comment. Anyway, that should be a really good game, though. There's a lot of guys on both sides that I'm interested in playing, so that'll be good. Chicago's is coming off a day of rest, so that puts guys like D-Wade and even Rondo back in play for me for Chicago as well. Last game I'll mention just here is at Atlanta at Washington. I know we all slept on Washington. I think it was yesterday when John Wall exploded for like 50 FanDuel points. He's capable again. This is a really nice game. There's so Washington's a 2-point favorite. 200 right now it's a 209.5 over under. Man, I could see another. This is another really good spot for John Wall. Even a guy like Dennis Schroeder, who's been struggling, his price has come down a lot. I love a guy like Paul Millsap in this game. There's all kinds of fantasy goodness. Those are just some of the games on Friday. I should mention that San Antonio plays Utah. So, dear God, if you want to, I would ask you to guess the over/under. Have you seen the over/under on that, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. It's ridiculously low.
Yeah. So it's 186.5. So I mean, that's a 40 points less than the Golden State Lakers game. And San Antonio's favored by 4. But some of those prices in this game, Rodney Hood, his price has come way the hell down. He's a really nice play. And I also like guys like Kawhi Leonard. So even in this trashy game, in terms of over-under, I think there's some plays that are probably going to get overlooked on Friday night. All right, man, let's jump into the plays. I guess the first we should get to. So the back-to-backs. The only team that's on the second night of a back-to-back on Friday is Golden State, and it looks like they're going to be coming off of a blowout, so they should still be rested. Teams on the first day of a back-to-back are Washington, Chicago, Atlanta, and the frickin' Spurs. So, Popovich, any chance he gets, he's going to try to rest those guys.
And he's been resting them on first of back-to-backs too. So I mean,
Yep.
if you put Spurs in your lineup, be careful because they might get sat.
I mean, Kawhi is the only one who's seems to be safe on the Spurs.
Just when you think that Pop will sit Kawhi here coming up, you wait and see.
At some point he will. But I'm old enough to remember back in the day when Duncan was young, and Pop would play him big minutes. So I don't know at what point Pop decided to become the Pop that we all know and hate now, who rests everyone. But yeah, let's get to the plays, my man. All right, point guard, as always, it's loaded. Wow, where do we start? Where do we start, Tyler? First of all right, we can start with Steph Curry. Tyler has Steph Curry ranked number one on the list. I would not have ranked him number one. I don't know why he's ranked number one here, but he's the first name, so I'll say it. Steph Curry, the price. The price, I'm not going to talk too much about him. The price is still great, 8.8K at the Lakers. Fantastic matchup. Now, got to worry about the blowout. But if you want to play Steph, I mean, obviously the upside's there. He still hasn't busted out yet this year, but he's going to at some point. So it's just a matter of when. On a slate like we have on Friday, Curry's going to be a tournament play for me only. I'm not going to use him in cash. There's just too many good point guards. John Wall, 9K versus Atlanta. His last three games, 35 FanDuel points, 44 and 55. So last two, he's hit value. He's been going overlooked. Now I have a feeling that because he had a 50 FanDuel point game yesterday, he's probably going to be owned a reasonable amount on Friday. But still, he's a really nice play. I will definitely use him in tournaments. And right now, I'm thinking about him for cash games. Now the other thing that about John Wall is he's always a lot better at home, and he is home. Versus Atlanta on Friday, so a very nice play if you want to roll him out, and a fair price. What's weird, and this is what I was talking to Tyler pre-show. I mean, John Wall's price has come down since his 50 FanDuel point game. So FanDuel does some weird things with their algorithms. I don't know why his price went down after he had two really nice games, but it did. So let's take advantage of it. Another guy that's an interesting play for me, and that's Chris Paul. He's also 9K, so his price has come down a little bit. The one thing about him that's surprising, not surprising, but that's stuck out to me when I was looking at his stats is that he has not his season high for minutes has been 33. So I mean, Chris Paul is, he's no, who's like a young guy that can say, well, whatever, he's no spring chicken. Whatever, I'm sick, I'm just gonna use a bad analogy or whatever. He's getting up there in age. He's got to be pushing 30, 31, maybe he's older, maybe he's almost 32. So it's not surprising if Doc Rivers wants to limit his minutes a little bit. At Memphis, not a great matchup. I don't love playing him tomorrow. Maybe if you want to throw him in some tournaments, but I just don't know how high the ceiling is for him anymore. If he's not going to play more than like 33 minutes, can we really count on him to really explode for those 55, 60 FanDuel point nights that he used to get us in the previous years? I'm not sure. I mean, like last game he had 49 FanDuel points, so he's obviously still a really great play. But at 9K, he's got to get 45 just to hit value. So I think he's got a really safe floor, but I just don't think the ceiling is that high, especially at Memphis tomorrow on Friday. Tyler, all right, now let's go to some guys who are priced a little bit lower.
Oh wait, you don't want to mention your boy Damian Lillard?
And he wasn't on my sheet. Yeah, well, we can talk about Lillard. What's his price right now?
9.6K, highest on the board.
So Lillard 9.6K at Dallas. Yeah, I mean, what do you want to say? He's obviously a really good play. I mean, monster minutes, monster usage rate. He's been scorching hot this year for the most part. Again, I just think the value there, I don't want to spend all my salary on point guards. There's too many good plays, so I'm probably not going to use them in cash. Although you could, if you did, I wouldn't blame you. It's going to be.
Of the top guys, though, he might be the best play. I mean, Deron Williams is a game time decision with that groin injury. So, like, who's going to be guarding him? JJ Barea and that clan? I mean, Devin Harris is out with a toe injury.
Yeah, no. I mean, he'll be high owned. He's a really good play. I mean, 9.6K is expensive though. I mean, there's value galore at point guard. So, I mean, obviously, if you want to use him in cash, I guess you could. Yeah, it's a fine play. I mean, obviously, he's got a really safe floor and he's got a really high ceiling. So, I don't think we need to talk about him too much. Granted, I will say this: he was not on the list that Tyler made. So, audience, do not blame me for not mentioning him.
He was on there.
Where is he? I don't see him.
He's not on there now. You must have deleted him, but I have him on there.
I didn't know such thing. I would never delete Dame Judi Dench Lillard. So yeah, he's obviously a good play. Moving on, Kemba Walker. This is a guy who I've not played much this year at all. 7.8K at Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn, dear God, I don't know what to expect from this game. I mean, the Charlotte's only favored by 6.5, but Brooklyn is ro they really are rolling out a D League squad. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess Kemba could be an okay tournament play. I bet you he's probably low owned. He's on a 9-game slate. He's probably going to be under 10% owned, and he's pretty safe. He's got a nice floor. I mean, if you look at his games this year, 33 FanDuel points, 35, 38, 33. So he really hasn't. He's only hit value once, but he's come close almost every game. So he's an okay play for me. Maybe I'll throw a couple darts in tournaments.
I just feel like he might be like getting kind of overlooked. You know, you got the real big names, and then you got some cheaper guys that people are going to be filling in. And so, like you said, he might be real low owned in your tournaments. And you know, the Brooklyn guys guarding him. I mean, Isaiah Whitehead's a rookie, and Randy Foy's not really a point guard, so to speak. So I think Kemba might just be able to, even if the game turns to be a blowout, Kemba might be the one doing a lot of scoring, and that's big FanDuel points.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely has a monster has a fantastic matchup. I mean, if they put Randy Foy in, and Randy Foy is 400 years old, cannot stay with him. And Whitehead, I mean, dear God, I mean, Whitehead stinks as an NBA player. So Kemba should easily have his way either way. So yeah, I mean, he'll be low owned, a very nice tournament play. We just gotta hope Brooklyn can somehow keep these games close with that horrendous lineup. Next guy up, Eric Bledsoe. He's been another guy that's kind of been taken for granted this year. I guess rightfully so, because he hasn't put up a monster game yet, but he's been okay. He's 7.6K at New Orleans. I want to attack this game, so I'm definitely going to be playing some Bledsoe in some tournaments. Last game, he played 40 minutes, which is fantastic. Only put up 33 FanDuel points. Again, as high as a thir as high as just 38 FanDuel points this year. But he does have the potential, Tim Frazier, not a good defender. So I'll probably roll Bledsoe out in some lineups on Friday.
Well, and I think it's worth mentioning too that New Orleans has just been giving up a ton of points in general. So you got to like,
At like every position.
right. And you got to just like Bledsoe, who's going to be kind of a focal point, have the ball in his hands a lot to maybe not only get a lot of points, but maybe get some assists, steals. I mean, they've been turning the ball over a lot and just gets across the board kind of crazy numbers.
Yep, I'm with you. And I love, and one thing I love doing is I love playing. Well, we can get to that in a minute. I was gonna say I love playing like combo, basically if I see an over under that's a good over under, like the Phoenix New Orleans is. For instance, I love playing Tim Frazier with Anthony Davis because look, if Tim Frazier's gonna get assists, who's he gonna get assists to? Anthony Davis. But my combo play with Bledsoe doesn't really work too well, so let's just pretend I didn't say that. And if we had some really good editing advice, I would just edit that out of the podcast. But sadly, we don't, so you guys have to listen to that. Next up, this guy's gonna be is an interesting play. That's Rajon Rondo, 6.8K. I played him a decent amount on Wednesday night, I think it was. He was only 2% owned, which I was shocked at because he was playing at Boston, so a revenge game. He played 34 minutes. He had 32 FanDuel points, so he did okay for me. He came, close to hitting value. But it's I was just surprised that he was that low owned. So he's another guy. I mean, that's being overlooked. I mean, it looks like ever so far this year, everyone's just been on the same guys. I mean, and there's so there's definitely some value to be had if you just, you know, if you play your hand, if you play your hand correctly. I mean, what are your thoughts on Rondo?
Well, I think too, I'll mention this first, just like with the point guards, from the lineups I see a lot, it's usually either they go real high end a point guard or they go for like some real cheap guys at point guard. So like a lot of the guys in the middle at point guard, I think keep getting like kind of low owned. So I mean that's potentially something you can target like in a GPP and maybe make some money. Rondo, he's a hard guy for me to predict just because I mean, he's gonna go out there and be hunting for assists. But I think he also may defer to Wade and Butler in some games because those two like to have the ball in their hands too.
Rondo
So,
doesn't defer to anyone, and it's annoying. So, like, Rondo will not be deferring to anyone. You can take that back. Like, sadly, I've watched all these games. He never passes to Wade. He passes to Butler.
yeah, but doesn't Wade? I mean, like from the games I've seen, I think Wade like gets to take the ball down sometimes,
No,
and
you
I.
know it's absolutely no. You know it's actually smart of Fred Hoiberg. He does like he plays so much of. So he'll play, you know, Wade, Rondo, and Butler together the first like 6 minutes of the game. Then he takes Wade out. And then he puts Wade back in, but at the end of the first quarter, and he lets Wade play with basically the second unit for like the end of the first quarter and the first like 4 to 5 minutes of the second quarter. So he tries to get Wade, and then that's when Wade brings the ball up. He tries to play, you know, I'd say half of Wade's minutes are without Rondo on the court, and that's because like those two, you know, like you said, when you have Rondo, Wade, and Butler who all need the ball, it's very hard. But I would say, you know. When those three are in, you know, are in the game at the same time, Rondo is the one handling the ball. I mean, by far.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, Rondo, I think Rondo causes a big stink when he doesn't have the ball in his hands like 90% of the time. So, I totally agree with that. I think that he could be a decent play tomorrow, but I wouldn't be banking all my lineups on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Andy is matched up against Derrick Rose, who's a horrendous defender. So that's a good thing for him. But yeah,
Totally agree with that.
I'm probably not going to play a ton of him. But I just thought the 2% ownership, I was really surprised at. I thought he'd be at around closer to about 10% at Boston. I mean, remember Rondo's a guy who I mean, his price was over 8K last year. So you're getting him still at a reasonable salary. Next guy up, I want to get your thoughts on Mike Conley. I mean, what do we do with this guy? He's just infuriating me versus the Clippers, a very tough matchup because Chris Paul's a good defender. I mean, he played 38 minutes last game, so that was the most that was the promising thing. But he only put up 24 FanDuel points, so that was not promising. The price is okay, but like I just don't think he has that high of a ceiling. So like, I mean, I don't know. I really don't want to play a lot of Conley right now.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think that Conley and that whole Grizzlies team just—I mean, they're kind of a strange bunch to me. They obviously want to play at a real slow pace, and their games, a lot of them are real low scoring, and so I mean that kind of makes it hard for daily fantasy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next guy up, Dennis Schroeder. I mean, the only good thing about Schroeder is because he's looked horrible, is that his price has come crashing down. So it's 5.9K at Washington. I really do like this game though. You know, on both sides. I mean, he's only top 30 FanDuel points once this year. His minutes have, you know, even without the sexy Jeff Teague, his minutes have not been that great. They've been between 25 and 32 each game. So, you know, I'm nothing to get too excited for here. Although you think, I mean, he can't play any worse. So I think Schroeder is an intriguing guy to play, and he's going to bust out, you know, one of these days. Although I will say this, John Wall is a sneaky good defender. Everyone always forgets that. So, you know, but that price is the thing that jumps out about me. It's finally a price that I'm going to be tempted to play a little Dennis on Friday.
I think that's it too. The price is getting to a point where he's obviously going to have the ball in his hands at the beginning of the game and have some opportunities to do some things. And I think there's going to be a game eventually where he busts out, and that could be the difference between winning you a GPP.
Next guy up, the aforementioned Derrick Rose coming back to Chicago, 5.7K. So the price, you know, it's a very fair price for him. His last, let's see, what are these notes that make no sense to me? Oh, I think he's been basically 28 FanDuel points his last three games. So he's been pretty consistent. He's been consistently mediocre, I'd say, which that's how he's been the last like 3 years whenever he gets in a game. And then he always has like one or two glimpses where he has a really nice move, and then everyone says, "Ooh, the old Derrick Rose is back." No, he's not back. He stinks for the most part, but he is back in Chicago. So, does he tempt you in any way on Friday night?
I mean, in a tournament, you could see the narrative where he gets an extra little bit of fire, or maybe the Knicks just, you know, let him have some extra minutes and some extra offensive attempts to kind of stick it to the Bulls, who traded him away, and, you know, maybe he has a crazy good game. But I agree with you. I'm not loving Rose so far this year. Surprisingly, he only has 2.5 assists per game in 30 minutes this season.
How is that surprising? He doesn't pass the ball. Like, God forbid he could give Porzingis the ball, like, once every, like, you know, 10 possessions.
Well, you would think with the guys around him, you know what I mean, he's averaged, like, about 5 assists the last 2 years. You would think that he would be a little bit better.
Like, yeah, it's been really frustrating to watch them play, because Porzingis is just, like, I mean, honestly, they'll be, like, 5, 6, 7 possessions where Porzingis doesn't even touch the ball, and it's just infuriating. Then you watch Derrick Rose dribble for 23 minutes and brick a layup. So, yeah, not a fun team to watch. It's going to be a rough year for the Knicks, in my opinion. Next up, Tim Frazier. He was everyone's golden child up until, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago when he got benched and only played 15 minutes and put up 7 FanDuel points. I know I got a lot of angry tweets at people who lost some serious money from playing Tim Frazier. But you know, besides that, he's been good every game. So I'm not exactly sure why he got benched. I don't think it's going to continue. I think he'll be back on the court playing his normal, you know, mid-30s minutes against Phoenix. And I like the match, you know, and I do like the matchup. So I'm just gonna count that off as kind of a fluke last game, and I'm definitely gonna be back on the Tim Frazier train on Friday night, especially because of recency bias. I think people are gonna remember that 15 minutes from last game. He's gonna be lower owned than he should be, and he's a fine play for both cash games and tournaments. Maybe if you don't want to play him in cash, I guess I would understand if you're a little worried. But I think he's still a fine tournament play.
I mean, I agree with that. I think that, like you said, he's just going to be probably low owned, a lot lower owned than he should be. That's going to create some value for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess real quickly, we can mention the 11th point guard we're mentioning. Actually, 12th. We gave you 12 beautiful options. The last guy, if you want to punt at point guard, you can play this Whitehead dude. I mean, obviously, wait to check the news and see if he's starting for Jeremy Lin. If he's starting, though, I mean, if you want to throw him as a dart in some tournaments, go ahead. I mean, the one thing that's weird is he's 4.5K. I don't understand why he's not 3.5K. Like, what the hell has he done this year, you know, that made his price go up $1,000? I don't know. I mean, he has been playing, like, 20 minutes, or his last game he got 20 minutes and 9 FanDuel points, and that implies he's a horrendous player. So, you know, I wish he was 3.5K, but, you know, if he is starting – I don't know. Maybe I'll throw him in like one out of 20 lineups or so, just in case.
Yeah, not loving it, but yeah. I mean, it's worth a punt.
Let's move on to shooting guard. And if we're going to shooting guard, we got to start with the best player in the NBA, Tyler, and that's DeMar DeRozan.
Your boy.
I mean, dear God, the one trick pony. He's cost me a lot of money, not because I've been playing him. It's because I haven't been playing him. And because I have not been playing him, I have not been able to win a big GPP yet this year. I mean, look at his numbers. 42, 44, 41, 57 FanDuel points in his last 4 games. I should say Toronto's first 4 games to start the year. That's tremendous. His usage rate is 37%. That's third highest in the NBA. Look, I don't think he can stay on this torrid pace, but – I mean, he's clearly, you know, while he's on a roll like this, I think, you know, to overlook him at this point is just silly. So I think he's got a safe floor and he's got a pretty nice ceiling. So, I mean, with the caveat, I'm still not going to play a ton of DeMar DeRozan. I mean, they're playing Miami. I wouldn't be surprised if they put, some Justice Winslow on him a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler Johnson guards him. Those are two pretty good defenders. So I don't want a ton of DeMar DeRozan at 8.5K, but I'm not going to fade him entirely. I mean, he's just been playing too good to ignore that kind of production.
I mean, yeah, he's averaging 36.25 points a game. That's actual points, not FanDuel. So, I mean, obviously he's been red hot. with his shooting. And I mean, he's worth a play in some GPPs, I think, just because maybe he keeps it going.
Yeah, and I just mentioned, as we said that, I mentioned I realized we didn't mention his tag team partner Kyle Lowry for point guard, so we could have mentioned another one. So I mean, Kyle Lowry is an okay play against Miami too, for that matter. Next up, a shooting guard, another one trick pony, and that's C.J. McCollum. I never can pick McCollum on the right night. He's one of those guys like Avery Bradley. I always play him on the wrong night, it seems. He's 7.1K. That's expensive to me, especially for a one trick pony. He's basically, you know, he's locked into huge minutes. I mean, his production has been kind of all over the place this year. He's been between 22 and 35 FanDuel points. So the biggest concern I have is what's the ceiling? I mean, if his high is 35 FanDuel points, I mean, that's basically barely hitting value. So, you know, at Dallas, that means he's going to be matched up against Wesley Matthews, who I watched him a couple days ago defend, you know, James Harden really well. So, I mean, I'm going to play CJ in a couple tournaments, but I'm not going to play a lot of him on Friday night.
Totally agree there.
Next up, my boy, D. Wade. I do not play D. Wade on back-to-backs, but this Chicago's coming off a day of rest versus the Knicks. Courtney Lee's a decent defender, but I do like this matchup for Wade. I mean, Wade's down to 6.7K. The upside, obviously, is not there like it was in previous years. He's no longer a guy that's going to get you 50, 60 FanDuel points, but I still think he can get you easily like 40. So I think he's got a decent floor. I think the ceiling is okay. It's not great, but at 6.7K, I think he's an okay play on Friday night.
Well, and so to go with something you mentioned earlier, if he's going to play against the Knicks bench, we all know what the Knicks are running out on that bench unit, so he could potentially be scoring a lot of points and making a lot of plays and – give you some nice value.
Yep, that's actually a really good point because Wade is getting a lot of minutes against second units this year. So that's actually something to take into consideration for sure. Next up, Nick Batum, 6.4K, just a you know, nice all-around player at Brooklyn. You know, he hasn't been that great this year. He's had a slow start to the season. Let's see. His last game was actually his best game of the year. 34 minutes, 32 FanDuel points. I mean, he did have some games last year where he put up like 45, 50 FanDuel points. So he is capable. We just haven't seen it yet this year. At Brooklyn, you know, again, can Brooklyn keep this game close? I don't know. So I'll probably play Batum a little bit. He's a pretty safe play, quite honestly.
I think you just like the matchup. Obviously, Brooklyn doesn't really have much to guard him, and he's coming off his best game. Maybe he, you know, goes even a step further and gets you, you know, a 40-point game.
Agree. Next up, Klay Thompson, Dirtbag Klay, 5.9K at the Lakers. You know, I think we talked about this yesterday. He's just, even though he's shooting 10% from three-point range, and I don't think he played well against OKC on Thursday night, I mean, that price range is just too cheap. At some point, he's going to bust out. You know, similar to Curry, you just win. It's a matter of when. So, you know, he's a tournament guy for me. I'm gonna throw him in some lineups and hope that he goes off for one of those 30-point quarters. Next up, Devin Booker. Devin Booker's price finally has come down. It was hovering around like the mid sixes to start of the season. It's come down to 5.6K, which is beautiful. At New Orleans, we've already discussed the Pelicans give up points to every position on the court. Last game, Devin Booker got 39 minutes, which is fantastic. He put up 24 FanDuel points, so. Look, I mean, that's basically, I think that's about his floor in terms of FanDuel points. That's a pretty nice floor. And I think, you know, he does have upside to kind of help you win a GPP. So he's an intriguing guy that I'm going to play in some tournaments tomorrow.
I mean, I really agree with that. I think that, you know, it's a great matchup. And I think everyone's just kind of waiting for a game where Booker kind of busts out a little bit. And I think tomorrow's a decent chat.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll probably talk about T.J. Warren in a minute. But, yeah, one of the reasons he hasn't had that monster game is because T.J. Warren is just taking so many shots and playing so well. So Booker's minutes have been a little down, although it's good to see he got 39 last game, which is fantastic. Next up, this is my sneaky ninja play of the day for Friday night, Bradley Beal. Beal was – I mean, last year he was priced for a large chunk of the season, around $7,500. He's down to 5.3K. Now, some of us, we've all been burned by Beal in previous years. Normally, it's due to injury. Now, we also thought what maybe Washington is going to be smart and try to limit his minutes this year. Well, he played 39 minutes last game, and he had 23 FanDuel points. Actually, his last two games, he's averaged 39.5 minutes and 23 FanDuel points. So the minutes are there. He does have the talent to put up a big game. Now, am I going to play him? I mean, he's probably an okay cash game play at 5.3K, quite honestly, because I think he's got an okay floor. But I'm going to play him in some tournaments, man. Like, that price is just too low. Something smells there. I like the matchup. Who's going to be guarding him for Atlanta? Is it going to be Korver?
Probably Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, I guess Korver or the Bays, but I mean, that price is just a little too low for me. I'm not going to play a ton of Beal, but I am going to play some Beal tomorrow. Probably the most I played this year, and see what happens.
Should we bring back my segment from yesterday?
Oh, the Tyler Fun. What was it called?
It's fun with numbers.
Fun with Numbers. Let's bring it back. Fun with Numbers. Here it is. I wish we had theme music to
I
for the.
think I think you should just play a little jingle for me. Just make it up right now, like sing a little song. I know you have a great musical voice.
If I wasn't sick, I would try to, man, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling.
All right, so how many field goal attempts would you guess that Bradley Beal is getting so far this season?
Oh, God, man. Like, it's got to be like 15.
That's about what I would have guessed. It's 14, okay? Now,
Oh.
guess how many he's making per game this season.
Five?
5.3. He's shooting
Oh, God.
38.1%. Okay. Now, guess how many 3-point attempts he's getting.
Seven.
Oh, no, not quite. 4.7, which is right on a line pretty much with what he got last year. And he is shooting an astounding 28.6% from 3-point land after being a career 39.5% shooter. So, I mean, obviously this is another guy, he just kind of started cold, but you got to expect the big game to be coming that where he actually is hitting his shots and that could, win you a GPP.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good stat. So I mean, clearly, I mean, guys like him, guys like, I mean, he's not as talented as Klay, I don't think. At least, well, especially not defensively. But I mean, offensively, Bradley Beal's a pretty good player, man. I know everyone always talks crap about him, but like 5.3K something. I'm t like, man, I remember last year.
39.5% 3-point shooter. That's one of the tops in the league. I mean, that's a damn good
Yeah,
percentage.
I mean, so like, yeah, let's all play. All of us. Let's all play Bradley Beal in one lineup and win some money on Friday. How about that? And actually,
Let's
you know
do it.
what? You can team him up with this guy, Rodney Hood. Another guy. I don't understand what's going on here with FanDuel. Like, Rodney Hood has played really well this year. His price has come all the way down to 5K. Now, the matchup is not great. It's versus the Spurs in that horrible over-under game. But, I mean, he played the Spurs like a couple days ago and had a nice game. And then he had like 28 FanDuel points. So.
27 and a half.
Yeah, and his last game out, he played 35 minutes and had 34 FanDuel points. So 5K, that's just too dang cheap, for someone as good as Rodney Hood. Now, especially as long as Gordon Hayward is still out. So like, I'd love me some Rodney Hood tomorrow. I mean, I'd play him in cash games maybe, and I'll throw him in some tournaments too.
Oh yeah, I love Rodney Hood. I love to watch Rodney Hood too. That
Yeah,
Jazz team's kind of fun to watch and
there's a lot of good shooting guards on Friday. Wow. Next up, a guy that Tyler forgot to put in the sheet, but don't worry, guys, I have your back. And that is Sean Kilpatrick, a guy who I had no idea was coming into the year. He's been by far Brooklyn's best player. He's been tremendous. I mean, last game, 28 minutes, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 42 FanDuel points. Who is this guy at 4.7K? No, I meant like literally, Tyler, who is this guy?
please don't tell me you're believing in this, Buster.
No, well, the thing is, like, he actually looked like a legitimate NBA player. I mean, he looked pretty good. Like he did kind of jump off the screen to me. Like, I was like, wow, like, who's that guy? And he's little. I'll say that. He's short. But look, Brooklyn has no one. This guy's he's only playing in like the mid 20s in minutes, but his production's been pretty consistent this year. 19, 26, 21, 17 FanDuel points. Obviously, the last game he went nuts. But At 4.7K, man, now Jeremy Lin's out. They need someone to score.
I will say
Maybe
this,
it's going to be this guy.
he's already getting 12 field goal attempts a game, which you like to see, and
Yeah.
he's shooting 4.4 three-pointers a game. And obviously that should only go up with Jeremy Lin out. I mean, this guy has a chance to, hit some good value because the price is so cheap, but I wouldn't be staking my house on it. I'd much rather play guys like Booker, Beal, and Hood over him.
He's got the same usage rate as Dwayne Wade this year, right now. So, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna play me some Kilpatrick, get some GPPs, man. Dude, with Lin out, they need someone to score. I'd like, so who's it gonna be? I mean, I don't know, but why not this guy? Why not?
This is your no halftime play of the day.
Now that I know halftime is gonna be. No, it wouldn't be a good Kilpatrick.
I feel like you can get this guy against someone halfway decent. You're saying you believe in him. Come on.
No, I'm saying that he's got the potential. I'm not saying I believe. Let's not get crazy. I mean, he's still out in Brooklyn. But I'm saying he's already shown us that what he can do. So, with the Jeremy Lin injury, he's an intriguing play at 4.7K. So
I agree.
yeah. Last up, Tyler, you can talk about this last guy. I don't want to talk about this bum.
This Buster,
Yeah.
Etuan Moore. Our friends at Basketball Monster are digging some Etuan Moore tomorrow. He's 4.2K. He struggled a lot in the last game. He only had 10.1 FanDuel points in 27 minutes. He's been getting some pretty big minutes though. And I mean, there's the potential against Phoenix, who does not play a great amount of defense, that maybe, in a GPP, he can bust out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like I don't have any issue for the most part. My only thing with him is what's the ceiling, right? I mean, I think his ceiling is like 21 FanDuel points. I mean, that's his high this year. I do love the game versus Phoenix, but I'm just not sure, even if he has a really good game, what's he gonna get you? I mean,
He had a crazy game last year for Chicago. I can't tell you exactly what the points were, but it was pretty crazy because I remember thinking, like, how did this guy do so good? I'm looking it up right now. I'll let you know here in a second.
no, it's
Keep
okay. I'm
talking.
looking at my FanDuel scores from Thursday night. I had some pretty nice lineups, man. It's a shame that Golden State blew out OKC. Otherwise, I would have made a lot of money.
It's still on. What are you talking about? It's not over
Up
yet.
by 25 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter.
They could still play him. Russell Westbrook's still getting his revenge. He's going back out.
No, it's over. All right. So we don't want to bore the listeners too much. So let's move on to small forward. Man, that's Friday night's gonna be. I'll tell you this, man. I'm already this. There's one thing I will recommend, and I'm not sure what everyone does. I mean, everyone has their own strategy, right? But me, like, I play a lot of lineups, and that's the guy, all the guys who are winning the multi-entry GPPs are playing lots of lineups. Like, I used to only play. Really, the main thing I would play is the Slam, which was the $25 entry fee. And I throw like maybe five, six, seven, up to 10 entries in, depending on the day. I basically have changed my kind of mindset this year, just because like, I mean, all the pros are playing the maximum amount of entries in these large tournaments. So what I've been doing is I'm no longer playing the Slam as much. I'm playing kind of the Rebound. I think I forgot that. I think that's the $10 tournament. Then there's a $5 tournament. I think that's called like the Assist. I'm playing of those. But I'm playing like 15, 20 lineups now in those tournaments because when you do that, you can still have your core set of players you play each night, and then you can just rotate a lot of the supporting players and get a lot more lineups out there, and that's it just increases your ability to win. Because remember, when you're playing a GPP, you're really playing a GPP to win the whole thing. I mean, that's how you win big money. You got to finish in that top 10. So, obviously the more lineups you're playing, the better your chances. So, that would be my recommendation to all you guys out there who are playing kind of, if you're throwing like four or five lineups in a certain contest, I would say, let's say you're playing the Rebound, the $10 one. I would say, you know what? Instead of you're playing your four or five lineups in the Rebound, go down to the Assist and play like, double that, play 10 lineups. It just kind of makes sense to me after seeing every night, who's winning these large GPPs, and then watching the same damn people win it. I think I want to enhance my chances, so you guys should try to enhance your chances as well. Also, I think we've talked about in other shows, you can always play the single entry ones, which are fantastic because then everyone's, you know, level playing field. And, you know, obviously, you know, each person can only throw in one entry. The problem with those is you can't win the same amount of money. You can win like 20,000 in some of the large GPPs with the multi-entry one, and the single entry ones, you know, normally you can only win like 1 or 2,000 for the most part. So anyway, that's just
I'll say,
go ahead.
Etuan Moore had 420 actual point games last year, which was a surprising fact to me. And I want to know how many lineups you're going to play in the Friday NBA ball or tomorrow.
How much is the baller?
$1,000.
$1,000 entry fee?
Yep.
Yeah, even for me, that's a little too rich. I probably won't throw – I mean, unless I have a – yeah, I probably won't throw any lineups in that. Because, I mean, the problem with that is it a multi-entry one?
No, 130 only 134 entries, too.
You get 25K. Yeah, I mean, I probably won't play that. I mean,
come on, Green. No, you got to play that.
That's a little rich for my blood. I'm not – I mean, I do okay, but I don't do that. I don't do that good. If you want to play, though, go ahead.
I'm totally out on the baller.
I think the highest that I played was I think a couple times I played. Well, last year was banned. Like it was banned most of the year for me. So I think on DraftKings I played a $300 tournament. I forgot what that was called, and I did pretty well on that one. So that was fun. But anyway, let's move on, man. Let's get to the plays, Tyler. Stop distracting me, man. Small forward. All right, we're not going to give you as many plays as small forward like we did for point guard and shooting guard. But still, obviously some really good plays. You got Durant, 9.9K at the Lakers. I mean, you know, we don't say much about Durant. He's awesome. If you can fit him in your lineup, go ahead. I don't know if I'd play him in cash games, quite honestly, on Friday just because of that blow-up potential. However, if you did, I couldn't really get mad at you. He's been great.
He had 25 points in the first half tonight. I'll say that. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's one of the – he's probably the second best player in the NBA. So, yeah, I mean, he's always a good play. A guy that really intrigues me on Friday is Kawhi Leonard. His price is about $800 too low. It's only 8.4K. Now, the matchup is not ideal. It's at Utah. But for large GPPs, that means a lot of people are not going to be playing Kawhi. I love – especially on a large slate, if you can get low ownership, that's fantastic. So I'll definitely be playing some Kawhi in tournaments.
And it's worth mentioning he had 43.4 FanDuel points against Utah just like 3 days ago. So
yeah, I mean he might be my favorite player to watch in the NBA. Quite honestly, I love watching Kawhi. He's awesome. He's so good.
Oh no, he's a beast. Just make sure he's playing. Check the lineup right before it locks.
Right now, it's like him and Giannis are like my two favorite guys to watch. All right, after that, the next two guys are interesting plays. I played yesterday, I played these two together in a lot of my lineups, and that's Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. And both of them kind of let me down, especially Carmelo. But Jimmy Butler, 7.7K versus the Knicks. You know, I like the matchup a lot here. He's on the year, he's been okay, but the Bulls stats are all misleading. They've had two blowouts, so they've really only had two kind of close games. 41, 28, 31, 34 FanDuel points on the year. I think it's a safe play, and he does have upside, so I like Jimmy Butler on Friday.
Totally agree with that.
Carmelo Anthony. His price is coming down, so that's nice. 7.3K. That's a nice price. It's an interesting price at Chicago. He has not done well this year. He hasn't hit value all year yet, so that probably is going to mean his ownership is going to be low. 28, 31, 34, 27 FanDuel points on the year. I'd be curious to see what he's shooting. It can't be good. So... you know, again, he's a guy, to me, it seems like he's got a pretty decent floor and an okay ceiling. I mean, maybe, you know, small forward might be a position where you just want to kind of not spend up and just spend in the middle. These are two intriguing guys. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to play him in cash, but I will definitely play both of these guys in tournaments.
The crazy thing about Carmelo is his shot attempts are down to 16.5 a game. which I mean still sounds like a lot, but it was 18.2 last year, and then 3 straight years before that it was over 20 shot attempts a game.
How many
He
shots? Like, yeah, I watch. See, like, I haven't watched a ton of the Knicks. I've just been so frustrated. I've turned the channel after Porzingis doesn't get the ball. I wonder who's getting all the shots then.
they're kind of playing at a little slower pace, I think, aren't they? Or something here, because they a lot of their guys, like a lot of their big guys, their shot attempts are down this year. So maybe some of these guys on the bench are getting a lot of attempts,
I
or
know
else
they've.
the attempts are just down in general.
I know they've got blown out. They got blown out one game too. So,
Right, so that's probably played into it. Obviously, it's only a 4-game sample, but you want to see Melo shoot the ball a little bit more. He's still getting 21 points a game, which you like to see that. But I mean, I like to Melo tomorrow a little bit. I think that he could have a nice game against the Bulls.
I'm with you. All right, the next guy. This guy's probably going to be. I mean, I think he was 50% owned on Thursday, on Wednesday. He's probably going to be similar to that on Friday, maybe a little bit less just because it's a 9-game slate. But that's T.J. Warren. I mean, dear God, I don't know where he came out came from, but he's been just phenomenal. And they're playing at New Orleans, so really nice matchup for him. Look on the year: 26, 44, 39, 22, and 41 FanDuel points. So he's crushed value a couple games. I don't see a why it's not going to continue. So he's a really nice cash game play, and he's a really nice tournament play, and he's cheap.
Yeah, you'll remember last year. I mean, maybe you don't. He got hurt, and he only played 47 games. So he was actually really good. He's a career 50.9% shooter, which for a small forward, obviously, that's really, really good. He's getting 17.8 field goal attempts a game and 4.4 free throw attempts. I mean, you gotta love it. I'm definitely slotting him in some of my lineups tomorrow.
I mean, if you watch Phoenix, like T.J. Warren and Booker, like both those guys, and even Bledsoe and Knight, like anyone who gets the ball, they can shoot. Like they all have the green light. I mean, like it's just like guns. I mean, dear God, I'm like, dear God, like there's like one pass and shot. So, like Warren is getting a lot of shots, and then so is Booker. So, both those guys are interesting plays.
They're bringing back the D'Antoni offense, are they?
I mean, yeah, basically. I mean, they're not certainly not playing any defense in Phoenix. That's for sure. Next up, Justice Winslow. The price, I keep waiting for that price to rise. It has not. 5K. I mean, so you very easily, if you wanted to, if you want to spend up other positions, you could roll out a T.J. Warren, Justice Winslow cash game lineup at small forward on FanDuel tomorrow on Friday. 5K. That's too low for Winslow. I mean, he's got a really safe floor. I think his floor is like around 21 to 23 FanDuel points. And then he's got some nice upsides. He's had a game of 35 FanDuel points this year. So I like Winslow for cash games. I like him for tournaments as well. I mean, that's just too dang cheap. Oh, and I see Tyler wants to play fun with numbers with Justice Winslow as well.
All right, so here we go. This was actually kind of surprising to me when I looked this up. How many shot attempts do you think Justice Winslow is getting so far this year?
I'll say this, just because I listened to a couple Miami podcasts, I know he's still shooting horrendous. So I'd say he's getting maybe 15 shots.
You are darn close. 14.8 shot attempts. You want to guess what percentage he's shooting?
He's shooting bad, so I'll guess like 33%.
35.6%. Now he shot 42 last year, so you got to think that's going to rise. Okay, guess how many 3-point attempts he's taking. I will say that he only took 1.5 last year.
I don't know, like two a game? I don't know, three a game?
Guess what percentage he's shooting there?
Oh God, it's gotta be like 10%.
18.8%. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're either going to. He's a good 3-point shooter, and that percentage is going to rise, or B, they're going to tell him stop shooting 3-pointers because you can't make any. So, I mean, I think that he's just going to start shooting some more efficient shots, and the field goal percentage has to rise some. And when you're taking 15 shot attempts a game at a 5,000 salary, you got to like the upside there to have a good game.
Yeah, man. See, this is what's funny though about like that conversation, right? Like the fun with numbers game. We've done that previously with all guys who are struggling and not hitting value at all, and like been sucking. Like Winslow, still while shooting that bad, is like crushing value every night because he's so cheap. So, like, when he does like have a couple games where he's making a shot, I mean, dear God, like he's gonna hit like 8-9 times value, which he's already almost come close to doing. So I mean, Justice Winslow is a guy, you know, he really is a guy with some massive upside if he keeps shooting, and I mean, I see no reason why he's not going to. I mean, Miami, you know, they wanted to, they, I mean, really the only thing that they have to do this year is develop Winslow and develop Whiteside and Josh Richardson when he comes back. So love Winslow. The last small forward to talk about, Tyler, Harrison Barnes. Another guy, man. He's too cheap. 5K. I'm not sure why. I mean, the last game he struggled, but that was against Utah. But he may be Dallas's best player, and as pathetic as that sounds, that might actually be true. I mean, Dirk's 75,000 years old. So 5K, that's just too cheap, man. Like, I wouldn't, if you want to use him in cash, I wouldn't mind. Like, the upside, I mean, he had one game of 40 FanDuel points this year, so I think he's got an okay upside. So, you know, I don't, if you want to use some Harrison Barnes on Friday night, you know, I don't mind. Like, I mean, honestly, if you went with a Harrison Barnes, Justice Winslow cash game lineup in, for small forward, I mean, you could do a hell of a lot worse. So I think he's an okay play on Friday night.
I totally agree. He's getting into your one trick pony column, though. If you've looked at his stats, he's basically only scoring and he's getting you 5 rebounds a game, but like almost nothing in all the other categories. He's giving you 1.3 threes a game, but no assists, no steals, no blocks, really. So for your season long leagues, that's something to be a little concerned about.
He's basically become like a poor man Andrew Wiggins.
I kind of agree with that, yeah.
Ugh, that is not a good sign. All right, power forward, because my voice is really starting to struggle here. Tyler, take us through the power forwards.
All right, so the first guy up, you got Anthony Davis. Obviously, great matchup against the Suns. He's gotten a 90 FanDuel point game. It is 11.2K, so it's a lot of money, but you know, I mean, you got to play Anthony Davis in some of your tournament lineups because if he gets 90, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, I got to jump in here. So, fat, chunky Jared Dudley's guarding him on Friday night. Dear God, Anthony Davis is going to be in my cash game lineups. He's going to be in a lot of my tournaments. Like, I cannot envision how he doesn't score. You know, I think he's got a floor of like 50 FanDuel points versus Jared Chunky Dudley. You know, and you know, we've seen it this year. I think he had 97 FanDuel points one game. So he's going to be a tough guy to fade on Friday night. The only way I see him not hitting value is if he gets a fluke injury, which he could because he's a tin man, or if it's for some reason that game becomes a blowout. Otherwise, it's an ideal matchup.
Don't let the ball hit him in the face. Is that what you're saying?
Or get an eyelash or a scratch or, yeah, fingernail issue, anything.
Next guy up, Blake Griffin, 8.9K. He's gotten 52, 32, 39, and 36 FanDuel points this year. So he's really only hit value in, like, one game. But, I mean, they're playing Memphis tomorrow, which isn't the best of matchups. But, I mean, Blake Griffin is the kind of guy who can always bust out for a huge game.
Yeah.
So –
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like this is the first time I've seen Blake under 9K, like, in, like, 3 years, which is as long as I've been playing DFS. So I'm going to jump on him tomorrow in some GPPs, you know, and he's actually got a pretty safe floor, too. I mean, the one thing that is, you know, I think Doc Rivers is trying to limit all their minutes, you know, like, you know, CP3, Blake, DeAndre, they're all getting around 32 minutes a game. So that's, you know, I wish he was getting 35, 36, but still, you know, he does have some really nice upside, and he's going to be low owned. People are overlooking him this year. So I think he's an interesting play on Friday night. Cause I mean, everyone's going to see Memphis and go, oh, I don't want to play. I don't want to go up against Memphis. But remember, Memphis is, you know, who's playing power forward? Jamichael Green. You're telling me Blake Griffin can't destroy Jamichael Green? I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, I totally agree there. I think he's an interesting play. Next guy up, 8.1K, you got Paul Millsap at Washington. He's gotten 45, 27, 45, and 21 FanDuel points. So I'm assuming that means he's getting 45 tomorrow. I just really like the matchup. I mean, I don't really think that anyone on Washington, you know, Markieff Morris is probably the guy he's going up against. I just like the matchup there for Millsap. And Millsap's kind of a guy who can do it in a lot of different categories, so you like that upside.
Millsap was my one of my favorite cash game plays last year. He's a consistency monster. Doesn't need to score, actual points to put up big FanDuel numbers. I love me some Millsap. I love the matchup at Washington. Atlanta's coming off a bad loss at home to the Lakers. I think they're going to be motivated. Right now, I have my cash game power forwards for Friday night of Anthony Davis and Millsap, which means I got to save money at other spots. But I just love those guys for Friday night.
Yeah, totally agree. So next guy up, Kristaps Porzingis, 6.4K at Chicago. I'm interested to see what you think about Porzingis for tomorrow, because obviously the FanDuel points haven't been super great so far this year. 28, 32, 28, and then just 20 in the last game. So what are you doing with Kristaps tomorrow?
I mean, he's been one of the most infuriating players to own this season, but it's not his fault. I mean, like, he's not a point guard. He can't pass himself the dang ball. Like, Derrick Rose and the rest of the Knicks are not getting him the ball. So, I mean, like, last game he had 3 freaking points. I mean, and 20 FanDuel points. He has monster upside. We've seen it numerous times the last year. So the only good thing like that I like is in the newspaper today. I mean, there's a bunch of Jeff Hornacek quotes saying how much that they need to get Porzingis the ball, and they've done a horrible job. And he didn't call out Rose by name, but he basically said the Knicks have done a horrendous job of getting Porzingis the ball, and he's going to fix that immediately. So that may that that you know that that's a good sign, and I think that it can't get any worse. So 6.4K is a very fair price for him. I do love that Chicago Knicks game on Friday. So while at this point you can't play Porzingis in cash, I'm going to play a lot of him in tournaments.
Oh, and you've watched pretty much every Bulls game. I mean, like, in my eyes, Taj Gibson is not a great defender. Nikola Mirotic is not a great defender.
Mirotic
So,
may
I
be the worst
mean,
defender alive. He is, wow, he is like I like man. Like he's when he's when his shot's going, he's tremendous. But there were a couple times against Boston yesterday where literally like Mirotic just didn't even bend his knees. The guys just blew by him. I almost fell out of my couch. It was just appalling. So yeah, you're at
you fell out of your couch or off of it?
you're, I don't know, both whatever. I guess off it would be the correct thing. But yeah, man. Like so.
Fell out of your
Shut
couch.
up. Leave me alone. I'm sick. I don't even know where I am right now. God, my throat hurts. But Porzingis has a tremendous matchup. Yeah, Taj, well, I love Taj. Taj is going to struggle to guard him away from the basket. And when Mirotić comes in, it's just good night if he can ever get the ball. So it's a good spot for him.
Totally agree. Next guy up, Markieff Morris, 5.5K versus Atlanta. He had a 36 FanDuel point game this year. He's coming off just a 13 point game. I actually kind of like Markieff in GPPs tomorrow. I mean, I think that maybe he can just have a real big game and, give you some good value.
I'm trying to look up Porzingis' usage rate, and it's so bad, it doesn't even show up on like the first 4,000 players in the NBA this year. That's embarrassing. So yeah, finally found it, Tyler. 18.4% is Porzingis' usage rate. I mean, that makes me so angry. I want to like go to Derrick Rose's house right now, bang on the door, and like slap him around a little bit. Just like not in like a violent way, just like, like kind of slap some like slap some what? Slap some sense into his head, because that is crazy. I mean, oh God. I bet you Lance Thomas has a higher usage rate than that anyway.
That's absurdly low for as good of a player as he is. I will agree with that.
Yeah. So I don't even know. Did we talk about Markieff yet? I don't even remember now.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I did. You didn't. So
Oh,
I
you
thought
did.
you were
Oh,
gonna go.
okay. So yeah, so Markieff is, dude, another guy. He's just priced too low. He should be about 6.2K, not 5.5K. So that makes him a good play, especially the recency bias coming off the bad game. I think he's a fine play against Atlanta. I don't love the matchup against Millsap, but he's fine, man. That price is just too low.
All right, so we got one last guy now. The options, if you're looking to kind of punt at this position, are not the best, in my opinion. There's a couple guys, maybe who are looking all right. One guy I was looking at was Frank Kaminsky. I mean, he's getting like 20 FanDuel points a game, and he's only 4,000. And then I uncovered what could possibly be maybe a nice little play tomorrow. Patrick Patterson, 3.8K versus Miami. Now the FanDuel points he's gotten, 27 is the most FanDuel points he's gotten this season. But he is going to be guarded by Luke Babbitt, who I don't know that he can guard anyone. So, I mean, maybe he gets a couple extra shots tomorrow and he puts up a nice game and he gives you some good value for a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen this guy play too many times to get, you know, to get too excited over this. I mean, if you want to punt, he's okay. It's just the problem is, what's the upside, right? It's just, you know, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to lose. I mean, if you play him, you got to hope he doesn't lose you a GPP. And I don't think he's going to help you win it. So, I mean, you know, it's basically if you want to punt so you can fit like an Anthony Davis, you know, and a Durant, you know, and a Lillard, like, you know, that's why you play a guy like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he only needs to get you 19 points to hit 5x value, right? So, I mean, he's already got that in 2 out of his 4 games. I think that maybe 30 is the tops you're going to get, but. Worth a shot.
All right, Tyler, take the centers too, man, because my voice, I am struggling.
All right, so top guy on the board is Hassan Whiteside, 8.4K, which that kind of surprised me a little bit. I actually thought it might be a little bit higher with the way Whiteside's been playing. He's been looking real, real strong. He's averaging 41 FanDuel points a game. He had a kind of a stinker against Sacramento, only got 28 FanDuel points, but he had 55 against San Antonio. So you got to like that. What are you thinking about Whiteside tomorrow?
I mean, I don't love the matchup, man. I think Valanciunas is a very underrated defender, quite honestly. However, you can't argue with that price. Like, this is another guy. Like, why isn't he like 9.5K?
That's what I was thinking. I thought that price was way too low.
Yeah, I mean, the price is just so, like, I'm going to play him in tournaments just because the price is, I think, too low. Although, you know, I think that's a tough that's probably one of the tougher matchups in the league for him. Like, I mean, he's always used to going up against teams, you know, where he's so much bigger than guys. I mean, Valanciunas is just as big as he is. I don't know if he's quite as strong, but he's as big. So, you know, that's an interesting matchup between those two. So I don't love him, but that price is too low. So I'll play him in tournaments.
All right. The next guy, your boy, Dwight Howard. I actually still think Howard's too high at 8.3K. But what do you think about Howard for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a little pricey for me. He should be around 7.8K. Although the last couple of games, he's looked pretty good, man. 46 and 39 FanDuel points. I mean, the problem with Dwight is I don't think he's ever going to get over like 32 minutes. So if, you know, Dwight plays 32 minutes and he has a really good game, I think his ceiling is around like that 46 FanDuel point night. And I don't think, you know, that's – I mean, to me in a large GPP, I mean, like he's becoming like an okay cash game play, I guess. But even at that price, that's a little pricey to be cats for cash game. So I'm not really going to be on Dwight. The only reason maybe I throw him in a tournament or two is just because ownership's going to be really low.
Yeah, totally agree. Next guy up, DeAndre Jordan, 7.3K. He only got 19.2 FanDuel points in his last game. But the game before that against Phoenix, he got 40 FanDuel points. Minutes have been pretty consistent, right around 30 minutes a night. So you going to play DeAndre a little bit tomorrow?
It's weird, man. He's a guy I haven't played a bunch this year. You know, as I mentioned already on the show, like Doc's really limiting Chris Paul, Blake, and DeAndre's minutes to around 32 a game, which makes sense to me. Also, DeAndre used to be like super consistent. He really hasn't been this year yet. It's obviously early. He's been between 19 and 40 FanDuel points. That's a big gap. The 7.33K salary, that's pretty reasonable. I mean, he was a guy for like large stretches last year. Now, granted, I think it was when Blake Griffin was out. He was like around 9K. So I'll probably throw him in a couple of tournaments, although, you know, I just don't know how high the upside is. So it's not a guy that I'm super excited for right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Next guy up has been one of the most frustrating guys probably for fantasy up until his last game. Brooke Lopez, 7.3K tomorrow, coming off, after that 50.7 FanDuel point game against Detroit the other night. What are you thinking about Brooke tomorrow?
So I don't know what the hell to think about him. Like, you know, on one hand, without Lynn, they have one NBA player. So I would think Brook is going to get the ball like every time down court. On the other hand, like he's on a minute restriction, so he's not going to play more than 30 minutes for the most part if he plays that many. And can Brooklyn keep a game close? And do they even have a point guard that can pass him the ball? Like, how is Whitehead or Foy or Kilpatrick going to get him the ball? So there's all kinds of red flags. And he put up 51 FanDuel points last game. So recency bias is a lot of people are going to play him on Friday. So all the signs point to don't play him, which means you probably should play him in a lineup or two just to cover your bases. But you know, yeah, I'm not. I mean, the price is fair. I think it's a very fair price for him. It's just, it's hard to get excited for, with that squad. I mean, dear God, I don't know how he's going to get the ball.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I'm not loving Brook tomorrow, but like you said, if you want to throw him in a lineup or two, I mean, I could see it. I think I see a ninja coming. Is the ninja coming up next?
Oh, my sneaky ninja at center, Marc Gasol. Everyone's been sleeping on Marc Gasol. I mean, partly because the whole Memphis organization has, and they've been resting him and Conley, and they're not telling us, and it's very weird. It's like a secret service. Not the FBI. Don't get me started on the FBI. I don't want to go on a political rant. But so he's 7K. That's dirt cheap for someone as talented as Marc Gasol. You know, he doesn't need to score points. I mean, like, they run so much of the offense through him. I mean, his last game, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. I think that was like 38 or 37 FanDuel points. I mean, something, a really nice number. So as long as he's going to get minutes, he's going to give you production. Production. Who are they playing? I already forgot. Man, it's been a long show. So playing the Clippers. So DeAndre Jordan, first of all, is not a great on-ball defender. So that does not worry me. So yeah, like I really like Marc Gasol on Friday. Like I don't know how much I'm going to play him, but I'm going to make sure to have some lineups. Now, you're probably saying, Dan, you've said on the show you're going to play every player, and that's partly because I do. I play lots of lineups, but I really do like Marc Gasol. He's going to be overlooked, and I think it's a guy you can take advantage of.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with that. Next guy up, Pau Gasol, 6.4K. Now, Pau has not looked good in most of the games this season. He's really only had one good game so far. But, I mean, 6.4K for a guy like Pau is really cheap. So, gonna play some Pau tomorrow.
Yeah, this may be one guy. This is going to be a guy where I play like one. Let's say I play 20 lineups out. Maybe I throw in one lineup. I mean, and quite honestly, if LaMarcus is playing, which I think he is, I might fade Powell entirely. I mean, the price, like you said, I mean, that's as cheap as Powell's probably been in like the last 10 years. Granted, DFS has only been around for like 4 years, but that's really cheap price. But he's had one good game. He's not getting a ton of minutes. So, if LaMarcus is playing, I'm not super excited for Powell, but maybe throw him in a couple tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree there that you don't love the matchup against Utah. He just got 26.6 FanDuel points against them, so not going crazy over him. Next guy we already talked about a little bit, Jonas Valanciunas, 6.2K versus Miami. You don't love the matchup against Hassan Whiteside, but there's some value there, I guess. He's pretty cheap, and he's actually been getting some pretty big minutes compared to seasons past. So, what do you think about Valanciunas
Yeah,
tomorrow?
I was tempted to say, do I like or love? I guess I just like. I'm not overly concerned. Whiteside is not the best on-ball defender. And I've seen Valanciunas have big games against Whiteside before. So, I think, he has a pretty good game against Miami. And 6.2K. So I wish the price was a little bit lower, but he's looked really good this year. The whole key always with Valanciunas is he going to get minutes in the fourth quarter? I don't know. And for that reason, I probably won't play him in cash games, but I will definitely play him in some tournaments.
Yeah, I'm gonna totally agree. I think he's a decent play tomorrow. Next guy up, Marcin Gortat, 6K tomorrow. He's coming off a game where he played 43 minutes against Toronto. They're playing Atlanta tomorrow. He's gotten 35, 30, and then 20 FanDuel points so far this year. Hey, you gonna play a little Gortat tomorrow?
Dude, I always overlook Gortat. Like I did it last year, and I've done it this year as well. I have not played much of him at all. Granted, Washington's only played three games. Yeah, I'm looking over his stats. He's a pretty consistent player, man. Like, you know, there's just not he's not exciting. So maybe that's why I just overlook him. 6K, it's a fair salary. It's a you know, I like the matchup versus Atlanta. I think it's gonna be up and down game. You know, he's fine. He's you know, I, the my problem with Gortat is what's the upside, right? I just don't. Is he gonna bust out for like a 40, 50 FanDuel point night? You know, you know, like I don't know. And some of these other centers can do that. So for that reason, I probably have him ranked a little bit lower.
I kind of agree there. I mean, I think the ceiling is maybe like 40 FanDuel points.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a crazy high ceiling, but the
But
cap.
remember early in the show when I completely botched my strategy about playing combos. So if I play in my John Wall lineups, I'll definitely have one lineup where I play a John Wall Gortat. Because I, you know, I love when they do the John Wall pick and roll with Gortat. That's how he can get some, you know, easy layups, and that's going to get both my guys FanDuel points.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree there. All right, so you want to punt at center? We got two guys down. First one up, Joakim Noah, 4.2K at Chicago. You wrote in all capital letters, "Revenge game," so I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I think we all know, right, that he played for Chicago his first, I mean, how many years in the league? It seems like he's been around forever. I mean, that first 6, 7, 8 years in the league. So you would think if he's going to have a good game, this would be it. The problem is last game, 18 minutes, 8 FanDuel points. He's only had one decent game this year. I mean, his price is fair, but like, why is he not playing minutes? Is he still not healthy? I mean, he's probably never going to be fully healthy anymore. So I can't get super excited, but just because, you know, it is the revenge factor game, I'll probably put him in a couple tournament lineups, but I will not feel good about it. I'll cringe when I hit submit my lineup with knowing that.
Here's the crazy thing. He's only gotten more than 22 minutes in one of the four Bulls games, or them Bulls, yeah, Knicks games this year. I guess if he gets the big minutes, he could get you a nice game, but I just don't see it happening really.
So, like, how many total points? Like actual points, do you think Noah has this year? In four games,
10.
he has 8. I mean, like he's obviously not an offensively skilled player, but it's just like, you know, ugh, yeah, it's just nasty. So, I hope he does well. I mean, I hope he has a good game though.
All right, minimum salary punt guy, last one of the night. Avika Zubac, 3.5K.
Yeah, so Zubac, 3.5K, you know. I played him in one lineup because he is Mark Roberts' favorite player. He's probably going to come on Sunday show and say Zubac is the next Whiteside, like he did with Clint Capella last year. I mean, I think he's a talented guy. It's just hard for me to envision him getting 24 minutes, even if he stays out of foul trouble, which is going to be hard for him to do. The other thing is they're playing Golden State, so I could easily see the Lakers going small and playing Julius Randle at the five, playing Larry Nance Jr. at the five. So, you know, this, you know, not a ton of upside here. The one thing, you know, if you play Zubac, the cool thing is throw him in a lineup. It allows you to get Anthony Davis. Maybe you play some Millsap with him. Then you play some, you know, you go Durant and Butler. Then you go some Booker and Beal, and then you get Lillard and John Wall, and there you go. I mean, you know, playing a guy at the minimum price allows you to do some cool things and opens up the rest of your lineup. So that's kind of the main reason you could throw some Zubac in, you know, on Friday.
Totally agree there.
By the way, I have no idea if that salary would work out. I have no clue.
Well, I'll run it right now. Just let you know. Keep talking.
All right, guys. So, what else? Let's see. So we got the Chambers tournament. If you guys want to get in my daily DFS tournament, let me know. Also, I tweet out every day. I don't think I've mentioned this on the show. I tweet out a core four, for both cash games and GPP. So what I like to do is every day I kind of have a core set of players. Some days it's four players. Some days it's five. I always call it the core four, even though some days it's four players. Some days it's five. Some days it's six. It's usually around four, and I play the same kind of four players in each lineup. And then I rotate the rest of the players. So every day, usually around, you know, an hour before lineup lock, maybe a half hour before, I will tweet out my core four, and so you guys can all see. and I hope I make you some money. And you'll see, some days I am right, and some days I am wrong. So,
You were a little over salary there, pal, but that's all right.
how much was I over?
Oh, isn't salary 60K?
I think it's 66K. Oh, no, you're
Okay.
right. No, you're right. 60.
Yeah, you were at 66K.
All right.
So
Well, then.
in your imaginary game, you are right on salary.
You know what? So in my imaginary game, let's swap out Lillard, and let's go. Let's see. Let's go Dennis Schroeder, and then we need about like 3K, and then let's go instead of Butler, let's go to Winslow. Bam. Does
That's
that give
it,
me?
man. That
Is that
should do
fit?
it. That should do it.
Wait, what's the lineup? Do you have it?
It should be Frazier and then whoever you swapped in a point guard.
So Frazier and Wall. Wait, I didn't say Frazier, did I?
I put Frazier in just to make the money work.
Oh no, I
That's
said
good.
Schroeder, man.
Oh, okay. Well, Schroeder, so you got an extra
Does Schroeder
4K.
work or no?
Well, he's only 4.4K more, so.
Hold on. Now I'm gonna build this myself on the air. So now you know what? I'm gonna play this lineup too. I'm gonna build us all a winner right now. So let's go John Wall. Let's go Dennis Schroeder. So then we basically got those two matched up against each other. Then let's go, who did I say at shooting guard?
He said Beal and Booker.
Yeah. Horrible lineup. I did not say Booker.
Yes, you did. The first time you definitely said Booker.
Did I? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. All right, we'll go Beal and Booker.
You should have went for Hood though. He was six.
I said Hood, but all right, whatever. We'll go Beal and Booker. Then who else did I say?
At small forward, you had Durant and you had Jimmy Butler, but then you just replaced them with
Winslow.
Justice Winslow.
Who are my power forwards?
You had Davis and Millsap.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm way over budget. This is horrendous. All right, you know what? We're gonna go. I get rid of Durant, and then I have 6,400 for power forward, and I'm gonna go. Oh no, it's small forward. 6,400, so we can go T.J. Warren. Everyone's gonna play him though, but whatever.
And then you got Zubac.
All right, so this is what I came up with. I don't want anyone to use this lineup. This is horrendous, everyone. John Wall, Dennis Schroeder, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Winslow, Davis, Millsap, Zubac. Now, I'll tell you guys why I don't like this lineup. Because first of all, it has Wall and Beal. I don't like playing Wall and Beal together. Even though I do like playing combos. Now, normally it's not a combo point guard, shooting guard situation. And also, then I have the same kind of situation with Devin Booker and T.J. Warren. I think one of those guys is probably going to have a good game. I'd be really surprised if both of those guys explode. Now, I will say this. That's a contrarian lineup, man. So just because I love you guys, I'm going to play this lineup in a $3 tournament tomorrow. And you can laugh at me because this lineup's going to get toasted. All right, anyway. So, all right, I'm glad we did that on the air. Tyler, if that lineup does bad, we're going to have to edit that out. Anyway, all right, guys, thanks for bearing with us. This was a long show, but 9 games on Friday. Lots of good basketball. Hope you made some serious good money on Thursday. Anything you want to say, Tyler?
No, that's about it, man.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Oh, remember to subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and all that good stuff. That really does help us out. And with that, we'll be back for a podcast to discuss Saturday's slate, man. And then we got the season-long show coming on Sunday with Mark Roberts joining us back on the show. So, all right, guys, have a good weekend, man. Bye.